Welcome. I think it's about time to get started. I want to talk to you about Expression Blend for developers. My name is Timmy Kokke. I'm a senior developer at Dream Team. I work on Silverlight applications and use Blend to do my design work. I'm not a designer, I'm a developer. So that's the approach for this this presentation. I'm an Expression Blend MVP, and I'm a board member of Sixin, a Dutch user group specialized in Silverlight and the Expression Suite. What are we going to talk about today? First, I want to start with why Blend. It's a design tool, which is very useful for developers, and I want to show you why. In case you never heard of Blend, I start with a quick tour around the different options and panels. One of the great features of Blend is Sketchflow. So we'll start building an application using Sketchflow. Then I'm going to talk about sample data. I'll show you how to create it, how to create a start of an application using sample data. Then the Visual State Manager, one of the great features of Expression Blend. I'll show you how to implement that. Then behaviors, how to act on certainties using behaviors. And I'll end up with some tips and tricks, which I find very useful. Why Blend? I came across this this text. Almost everything you can do in Blend, you can do in Visual Studio. Basically, it's editing XAML. You often get lots of XAML when creating Silverlight or DOLPF or Windows Phone 7 applications, and it's hell to type it in by hand. Blend can help you with that. And it's exactly what he says. You can type what you want. With a few clicks, you can do the same in Blend. Blend is for designers, although that's what Microsoft makes us think. But it's very, very useful for developers. And it's in your MSDN subscription. When you're using Visual Studio from your MSDN subscription, you can use Blend also. I personally use it side-by-side all the time. I'm always having Blend open and Visual Studio open. Blend makes it very easy to create XAML. With a few button clicks, you can create lots and lots of XAML. It visually shows you what you can, what you get when you compile the application. This list is what Blend can do. The Visual State Manager is something XAML applications can use a lot. They are some kind of animations that you can create, and by turning the application into different states, you can set a collection of properties to certain values and have them show when you go to a certain state. Storyboards and animations, you can write them in Visual Studio. There is some very simple to use editing tooling to create animations in Blend. Resource management, resource files, styles, templates, you can write them by hand. You can manage them by hand. In Expression Blend, you have a panel which shows you all available resources. You can move them around, add them to different libraries. There's also some reference checking to make sure you won't delete a resource that is used. And it gives you options to restore the defaults or cancel the deletion of a resource. template extraction is something that I find very useful in Blend. You can select a couple of shapes you've drawn and turn them into a button, for example. I will show you that in the tips and tricks section. Sample data is something that's very useful to use when you're building applications. When you're creating a UI for your application, you often want to see data in your forms, on your lists, or see how the application is going to look before it's even done, before there is any application. Sketchflow, I'm going to start with that. It's for prototyping your application, to quickly demonstrate how your application is going to work to your customer. Expression Blend can import Adobe Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator files, which if you work with a real designer, they often won't work in Blend or Expression Design, for example, but in the Adobe tools. You can quickly import them and they'll show up in Blend. Right. Expression Blend. I will open up a sample application. This is not what we're going to build today. It looks very dark. It's one of the reasons I think it's meant for designers. Designers like a dark interface. Luckily for us developers, you can turn it into a light interface, which makes it more easy to read in presentations also. So it's very useful. The project panel. Expression Blend uses exactly the same solutions as you are used in Visual Studio. There's nothing different. You can compile solutions from within Blend. You can run them. You can add new files. It even has integration with Team Foundation Server. So you can check in and out files. You can even view your history if you want to. That's pretty much what you're used to working with in Visual Studio. You can do in Expression Blend also. And there's the assets panel. The assets panel is every control, every behavior that's available to your application, including all other assemblies that the Blend can found in your system. If you install third-party tooling, like I did from Telerik, you can use them in the application. These files are not in your solution by default. By adding a control from one of these assemblies, the assembly is added to your references, and you can use it right away. One of the great features of the assets panel is you can search it. If you're looking for a button, it gives you every control that has the text button in it. If you're looking for a checkbox, it gives you all controls that have a text checkbox in it. It's very useful. And the toolbar. It's for developers. It's something weird. A toolbar like this, but got all the basic features you are used to. Maybe working with MS Paint, you can select items. You can zoom into your design panel. You can fill. You can pick stuff. You can draw rectangles, and there's another asset viewer. In this one, you can quickly scale and search controls in. The objects and timeline panel. below here. This is the tree of elements that are used in your XAML file. You can select these, you can hide these. When you hide these elements, they're hidden in Blend and not in your real application. You can lock them so you won't move them by accident. You can also add animations. When I select an animation, there's a little red dot before the elements that are animated. When I expand it, keyframes show up. This is the actual animation. Every time a value changes, is represented in a little dot. And it creates a slow moving animation from value to value to animate it. You see, when you're in an animation, in the top, there's also a little red dot, which means recording is on. Every change you make to your file, every property you change is recorded. And when you go or you play an animation, every step you record it is played back. The properties panel on the right shows all properties of an element. If I select this ellipse, you can see the brushes used. You can see the width. Every property of this element is shown, and you can change it. And there's the resource panel. This panel contains the resources available at this moment. I've created a resource dictionary with all colors in this file. And the data panel. This contains the sample data available to your application. Quick recap. Expression Blend is a normal solution. You can add remove files. You can use Steam Foundation Server to check in out your files. There's the assets panel. Contains all assets in your solution and external libraries. It's searchable. There's a toolbar. The toolbar for Silverlight and Expression Blend differs in one point. The this little block is used for the 3D elements in WPF. They're not available in Silverlight, so that option is hidden. Objects and timeline panels used to create animations. Below the surface, it's all XAML. It's a visual representation. The properties panel, all properties of an element, searchable also. If you're looking for a certain property, you can search for it. Very useful. Sample data, used to create dummy data. You can enable at runtime, so if you're not having data in your application but you want to see how it behaves when you run it, you can take the sample data and use it runtime. Resources panel, you can manage your resources very easy. You can move stuff from one library to another. And it checks references when you delete something or move something. Right, Sketchflow. Sketchflow is the part of Expression Blend where you can sketch your application. It's used to demonstrate your application to a customer. It uses a sketchy look and feel to make sure your customer doesn't think it's already done. When he sees a fully nice styled application, he might think, well, we're almost done. And in reality, there's nothing done at the point. I've made a quick start with an application. As you can see, Blend is not built for presentations. So much. What you can do is press F4, and you can get a full screen view of the design panel. This is the application I'm going to make today. It's a product management system for cheese. It's got a list view. It's got a login screen, and when the user presses a button, it goes logs in with his username and password. It goes to the view with the list of cheese, and you can edit it. Down below, every screen is represented as a box, and connections between screens are made by this line. When a login fails, you get a message and try again. On the login screen, we hit a button to perform the login. I'm going to drag it from the asset panel on my surface. It's not the right button. All sketch styled elements are grouped together. So I'm going to create a sketch button. I'm pressing F2 to change the text. Now, when the user presses this button, I want to move to the list screen. To enable that connection between the two screens, I'm going to drag a line between the two screens, and now they're connected. Blend of Sketchflow uses behaviors, so you don't have to write code to make your application work. So I'm going to use the navigate to screen behavior. I'm dragging it onto the button. Now when I look in the objects and timeline panel, there should be the behavior navigate to screen on the button. It's selected. When I go to the properties of a button, I can see it's going to use the click event that's going to fire the action, and I want to navigate to the list screen when this happens. Now, when I run the application, Sketchflow uses a special player to play sketchy applications. You can use the normal navigation, like I created with behavior. You can also use the behavior, use the navigation options displayed here. It's fully working. I can log in. Every control, it's a basic control, but it's styled in a different way to get a sketchy feel. Everything works. But I can now publish it on a web server somewhere, and my client can have a look at it and tell me if he likes it or not. In this case, he's not completely satisfied with the save button on the screen, and he would like to align it to the right. So what he can do is add some feedback on this application. You can select a pen, a nice red color. Select the button and say, I want it over there. Even type some text. Now what he has to do is save this feedback. He can export it to a file. He can add a name and its initials. Hit OK. I can now save this feedback. I save the feedback file to my disk. My customer sends an email to me with this file. I'm using Blend, so I'm going to import that feedback file he sent me into Blend. And what happens is if I watch the list screen, select this, I can see what he has drawn on the surface and the message he added to it. So now I know, oh wait, this is what he wants. He wants me to move that button. So I can do that. Notice this little icon over here. The list screen has got some feedback, so there's a little light bulb showing up to indicate there's feedback. So Sketchflow has sketchy scales on the controls to make it look sketchy. It's got a navigation view which shows all different parts of your application. These can get very complex in large applications, but they're very easy to navigate around and use. There's a special in-browser player with Sketchflow that your customer can use to try out the application. And feedback can be written in browser by a customer, sent back through email or whatever, and it can be imported in Blend to watch and be handled by the developer. Next, sample data. Sample data is a great way to start your application. You got some ideas. You got a Sketchflow application. You could use your Sketchflow application to start your real application. I wouldn't recommend it. There's a lot of stuff happening in XAML. It's very hard to get all sketchy stuff out and a new application. It's best to just start a new new solution. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say file new project. I want a Silverlight application. I'm going to use C# and Silverlight 4. And now I've got a normal application. This template is almost the same, actually the same as it would be in Visual Studio. It uses the same same project template. I'm going to the sample data tab. I'm going to create new sample data. Sample data, so you can define where you want to use the sample data. Most often you want to use it throughout your entire project, but you can limit it to use only in a particular file. In this case, I'm going to use it throughout the project. And you can enable or disable the use of sample data in your running application. It's OK for now. By default, you get a collection. It's basically an array or a list or of properties. In this case, I'm going to name it products. My product, I'm going to need a name. At the end of the line, you can select what type of property you would like to use. In this case, I'm going to use a string. You can give a format to the string, the data it's going to use in your application. There's a lot you can choose from. Lorem ipsum is some text designers use to create dummy text. It can use editors, colors, names. In this example, I'm going to use a name. A product has a company. Which is a string, also a company name. There are a couple of different types of properties you can add. A simple property is what you see here. A complex property is basically a property that contains all the simple properties. And a collection is the first, and you can add collection to collections to create more complex types of sample data. A very nice thing is the images. Our product needs an image. By default, it's got its own list of images it uses. You can specify another location if you have more relevant images to use. You can edit it. By default, it uses chairs. I have no idea why chairs, but it looks nice. What you can do with this sample data is just select a name, drag it onto your surface, let go, and you get a list of names in this case. By default, it uses it generates 10 records. 100. Now it's a list with 100 names. Below the surface, it generates a template for list items. It contains a name. If you select two or three properties, it creates a list with a template that defines how to view those three or four or whatever properties you've selected. One other neat thing. When you go to the details mode, and you select, in this case, all properties, you can drag it onto the surface. You get a detail view of a property. Now, what happens when I run the application? It loads the sample data. It loads the application that I've just created. When I select something, the binding is done for you. So I can see the application is running. Basically, what I have to do now is change the data source that is used for sample data to a real data source and get data from a server and show that in my application. So, new sample data on the data panel. You can give it a name and a location. You can get properties of various types. You can create lists of sample data just by dragging a property or the whole collection to a design surface, and it automatically creates a list and binds stuff together and creates templates that are needed for the list. Same for details. When selecting a bunch of properties and you drag it to the details view, to the design surface to create a details view, you can create sample data by hand, like I just did. You can import it from XML. So if you have an XML file, some database administrator gave you, you can use that, import that. It automatically defines, gets the types that are defined in the XML. Or you can create sample data from a class from your application. Okay, Visual State Manager. Going to open. It's basically the same product. I just added a few things, so you won't have to see me type. when creating applications, serverless applications, you often have to go to the server to get data, which takes time. When I run this application, in this case, it's not using the sample data anymore. I've changed the data source to a real data source, and I'm going to get some data from the server, from a database, and add it to my application. Now, when I hit the Get Cheese button, it's going to the database, do a bunch of stuff, and shows me the data. It takes some time. What I want to do is lock the application. I want to show a screen when the application is busy. Opening up this application in Blend. You can do that by right-clicking on a XAML file. Open it in Blend. What you see here is the sample data. It's exactly the same application as I just ran from Visual Studio. Same solution, but still using sample data. Although I've changed the images to my own images, some images of cheese. But the sample data is the same. There are a few more properties that are available. But it's still sample data. So we're working in Blend. You can still have the sample data, so you don't have to go to the server to get your data. You can just have it available in Blend. I'm going to add a new grid. It's added below, and it's transparent. What you can do is right-click an element, click outer size, and fill the entire surface. Because it's on top, it's got a color. Now the application is locked. It's not very nice looking, so I'm going to add a little transparency. Now when this happens, the user won't be having a clue what's happening. I'm going to add a text. Change the property right here. Loading, please wait. It's a little small. It's kind of big. Right. With Control Zero, you can reset your surface to its default view. So when you're zoomed in a lot or zoomed out a lot, you can hit Control Zero and it's reset to the default view. When I run this application now, the grid with the loading please wait message is just showing. So that's not entirely what we want. So I'm going to set the visibility of the blue grid to collapse. Now it's gone. By going to the state panel and add a new state group, which I call busy state group. A state group is just a group of states, basically. I'm adding a state, the busy state. I'm adding another state, the not busy state. As you can see, the little red dot is showing again. This means every change I make to a property in my my file is recorded and can be played back later. So, which means if I select the busy state with the recording on, I've got the grid selected. Now when I change the collapsed, the visibility property from collapsed to visible, it shows visible. In the case of the not busy state, I make sure it's collapsed. And when I go to the base state, nothing is showing. When I go to the busy state, some application is busy, it changes the property, the visibility property to visible, and on the not busy state, it's going to change to collapsed. Below you can see that the grid, the visibility property of the grid, is animated. So the properties are changed. That's basically a few clicks. Now when we watch the XAML, this is what's created by adding the groups and the two states. At this point, I've only set one property for each state, so it's very small. These things can grow very, very large quickly when changing a lot of properties, adding a lot of states. I've got two states now. A button has six, I believe, which I will show you later. These things grow very large. You don't want to have to type this kind of stuff by hand. I had a colleague a while ago who was making animations. I've had to make an animation for a customer, and he did it in Visual Studio. He created loads and loads and loads of animations, keyframes, all by hand. And in the end, he was working a couple of days, and he faded something in and out. That's all he got in the end. It's very quick to do it in Blend. Although you can edit code in Blend, which is possible, it's not very fun to do. I personally don't use the C# editor in Blend. I always have Visual Studio open for doing things to the code, and Expression Blend open to do things to the XAML. This is the code behind of the file. In real application, you might want to use MVVM patterns to create your application. For the demo, I kept it a little simple. I've got an observable collection of products. I've got a cheese service client. This is the client that goes to the server to get cheese. The data context is set to itself, so the properties are available when running the application. When the application is loaded, a new cheese client service is created. When the getCheese method is completed, the getCheese completed event sets the result to the products, and it just updates all properties, and the cheese is shown on the screen. To set the state, the busy state must be set just before calling to the web server, which happens here when you click the button. It's just a simple button click event handler. At this point, you want to go to the busy state, and when the data from the server is returned, you want to go to the not busy state. Doing that is very, very simple. There's a visual state manager. It has static method, code to state. You have to specify which control you want to go set the state of. In this case, it's this control. What state do you want to go to? I want to go to the busy state. And in this case, yeah, you can specify if you want to use transitions to go from one state to another state. In this case, we don't have transitions, so it's going to be false. So basically what happens, go to state, this, the busy state, and no transitions. When the data is returned from the server, I'm going to go to the not busy state. Now, when I run this application again, it should go to the busy state. When getting the cheese, and when it's done, it returns to the normal state. And when you select the cheese, the bindings that are dragged together are still available. Slides. The Visual State Manager, you can add groups. In this case, we set a busy state and set the visibility, a not busy state with visibility. And two small code changes. You can do this with behaviors too, so you don't have to write code to do this. Behaviors, I'm going to show you in a second. I'm going to use the same solution. What I would like is to have the list of elements. I've got availability property. If it's available, it's true. If not available, it's false. And if the cheese is available, I want to have it show green in the list. And if it's not available, I want to have it show red in the list. Therefore, I have to edit the template of the item template. I'm going to edit the current. This template is generated by dragging and dropping the sample data onto the surface. I want to have the stick panel in the group. What you can do to group stuff together is basically get a group into a grid. You can use all kind of containers to put stuff together. Grid is so commonly used, it has its own shortcut. It's a little bigger. And I'm going to add two new states. One if it's in stock. States. When it's in stock, I want the background of the grid that I just added to be green. When it's out of stock, I want the background to be red. And if it's nothing in base state, I just want it to be white. So, in stock and out of stock. To get it to respond on the property, there's a behavior to do that, the data state behavior. When a data is in some state, you can react on it. I'm going to drag it to the grid. I have to bind it to the property that it needs to respond to. Because of the sample data and the setting of the data context, everything is available in this window, and all I have to do is select what property I want to use. If it's true, I want to go to the true state. For the true state, it's in stock, and when it's not true, I'm going to go to the out of stock state. So when the value of this binding is equal to true, I'm going to go to the true state, otherwise to the false state. In XAML, behavior looks like this, and this is the state that is added. Run the application again. I'm getting a cheese. You see every element that is available is green and not available is red. Because this checkbox can be edited and there's binding, immediately see what happens when data changes. Which is very easy to behaviors. Adding behaviors, in this case, we added the data state behaviors. There are a lot of behaviors available. Expression blend adds a couple more to those that are available in Visual Studio. Playing sounds, calling methods. It can be done with a behavior to call commands. For example, in an MVVM application, you can use behaviors to do that. So you can bind your command to your UI. I've created a data binding. I set the properties of the behavior. And it works. Some tips and tricks. The application, it works. My customer is very satisfied. He wants an application that can get cheese from a database. But it doesn't look nice. So one easy way to make it look better most developers are not designers. A gradient is pretty much a definition of a design for a developer. So I want a nice background gradient for this application. Select the layout root and change the background brush to gradient, and I've got a gradient. Now, this is not looking very nice. You can set the points of the gradient to look a little nicer. But my customer is not satisfied yet. He wants more. He sent me this picture. He says, I want something that looks a little more like this. You can use the picture, but he doesn't want the picture in the application. So what you can do to create gradients very, very quickly is use this little tool, the gradient eyedropper. You can drag onto an image. And what it does, it's detecting all changes of color in the image. And create a nice looking gradient for that. And you don't want to create that by hand. Even in XAML, it's pretty much well. It looks a lot better now. But that button is not. It's not what it should be. I want a round button. Maybe something that looks like cheese. So what I'm going to do is create an ellipse. With Control 9, you can zoom in to the selected elements. This can be very useful. I don't want a border for this. I want a nice gradient fill. Yellow to dark yellow. Oh, maybe something like this. You can reverse the gradient. It starts to look a little more like a ball, like a cheese. You can modify gradients very, very easy with the gradient tool. Starting to look a lot better right now. Because this is a very, very shiny cheese, I'm going to add a little glow to it. You can align elements together by selecting both. Align it at the horizontal centers. So now they're perfectly aligned. I don't want to use a gradient like this. I just want white to white. Well, that's not it. With start transparency and transparency. Let's make it a little bigger. Well, it's a nice button now, but it's not a button, it are two ellipses. So, what you can do, select them both. They're in a grid together now. And you can turn these ellipses into a button just by saying right click, make into control. It shows you a nice window where you can select all controls that are available. In this case, I'm on a button. You can name it if you want. Button style is nice. And now it's a button. And it added the different states that a button can have. But they're not doing anything. So I want to make it a little more visible and have something happen when the user hovers over the button. So I'm selecting the mouse over state. Scale it. That's a little too big. That's better. And when I press it, I want to have the text to grow also. Now you can I want the ellipses to be the same size on both states, so I can copy the state from one to another just by doing that. On the press state, I want the content presenter, the text on the button, to be large as well. Nice. Well, it's funny. I would like to animate it a little. I want to have it slowly transition from one state to another over, say, half a second. By turning on this little feature, you can see the different animations happening. It's not quite right. You can add an easing function. In this case, bounce will be nice. Now when I press the button, it's pretty. Now this button is created, we can see this is where it's put the resources of the user control. And what I can do is drag it to the already existing button, let it go. I want to set the style of that button. Now because I didn't take the size of the button into account, is just show me the default size. Yeah. Of course, you can right-click the button and add a new template and do it the other way around. I just want to show you the turn into button feature. Now when I run this application again, work. As you can see, when I hover over the button, it's growing bigger, and when I click it, it pops up. The because I noticed a couple of item templates in this file, and I don't think they're needed, so I'm just going to delete them. This one, this one, and this one. Oh, wait. I guess this one is used by the list box. So, well, I want to keep it in. You can quickly remove all bindings, all templates from buttons, styles from buttons, and controls just by deleting a resource and have it to update the XAML for you. Same goes for adding libraries. I'm going to need a new resource dictionary. I'm going to name it resource dictionary. It's bound to my application. What I can do is just drag controls over to that one. Underwater, everything is updated and the application is still working. This way, it's very easy to split the dictionaries into or move stuff around. You can also quickly go and edit a template from here. And if it's just a color or a string, you can edit it right in place, right here. It's easy to group controls together in various different containers. You can create templates for controls very, very quickly by turning a bunch of elements into a new control. You can convert properties to resources just by clicking. When I go back to the main application, say I want the background gradient, which is very nice. I want to use it in other places. I click the little square at the end, convert it to new resources. Because I've got a resource dictionary, I can add it to here. Say OK, and now it's a new resource. It directly shows up in the resources, and I can even edit it right here. You can add the brushes from the resources just by selecting them. You can drag and drop them from one place to another, copy, paste, everything goes. The reference checking, if you delete something that's used, you get notified.